and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vocal Profiling Live. I am your guest host, Heather Baker, along with my roundtable of friends tonight. Your usual host, Sherry Edwards, has been incredibly busy with expos, clients, and classes, so we decided to give her the night off. You were listening to the Beatles singing about getting by with a little help from their friends, which is very appropriate for tonight's show because I couldn't get by tonight without a little help from my friends. I have back with me some people that you all should be familiar with by now. I have with me Stacy, Nikki, Jessica, Sheila. Our tech guy, Steve, joins us tonight, and we've got a few class audience members tonight, so welcome, everybody. You know, we all work together Monday through Friday. Quite often, more than that, we see each other and are good friends most of the time. But before I get to that, we call the show Vocal Profiling Live because we are a show that features vocal profiling. And to explain a little bit more about that, Jessica will give you the technical side of that. Jessica, can you explain to our audience members a little bit about vocal profiling and how it works?
Absolutely. What do you want to know?
Just give the people a rundown on the process of taking a vocal profile and how that works within our computer system.
Okay, what we start with is a 30-second voice profile of a person, which is a wave recording that is conducted over a computer and a specialized microphone. After that, we save it in a particular format. We use Fast Fourier Transform to view the voice print on the screen. And from there, we can determine which frequencies are low or high or out of balance in the person's voice, and then we have other ways in which to re-present those back to the client. That's, of course, the sound presentation portion. Anything else you want to know?
Okay, now that we've heard from our technical side, Nikki, what kind of things can these vocal profilers tell people?
We can use vocal profilers for some health issues. For the invoice, you can look at some things and see what health issues somebody may have. We do a lot of comparisons. We've done a few relationship comparisons on the show. Tonight we're talking about friendship, and friendship comparisons would be similar. If you saw someone who had a lot of C-sharp and their friend also had it, you could determine that if they had a problem, they would both want to solve it fairly and justly. So that would help their relationship if they both had a strong sense of justice, and we can read that and tell that in their vocal profile.
So these actually can tell people how to get along with people.
Yes.
What aspect?
Yes.
That's great. That's great. And we've got some famous vocal profiles linked up on NutraSounds.com. That's our website. There's a link on the left-hand side of the home page that'll lead you to that. And we do a lot of things here at Sound Health, and we have classes upcoming. We've got some free online demos. Sheila, when's our next online demo coming up?
The 26th from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And November 1st, November 20th, and November 29th are following.
Okay, and then how do people get signed up for that?
They get on NutraSounds.com and go to the training. And at the bottom of the announcement, it says to click here, and it'll let you put in your information there. And then it comes to Heather. And she sends it to me, and we get you signed up, and I'll shoot you an email.
Great. Okay, and we've got some more announcements. We just came back from a great expo up in Columbus that went really well. We've got another expo coming up in Austin, Texas, the Health Freedom Expo, and that is going to be at the Austin Convention Center. That's going to be November 30th through December 2nd. We give away a lot of great things. We give some discounts. Some discounts we're not supposed to give. But they are really awesome. So if you want to come see us at our booth, that would be great. I've got our bookkeeper next to me giving me dirty looks on that one. and we do a lot of different projects around here. Nikki, you head up our diet project. How's that going?
It's going really well. I'm up to 26 pounds. I weighed myself this morning.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nikki, and you're looking great.
Thank you.
You're getting skinny.
I hope so.
Okay. We welcome call-ins, so our audience out there, if you'd like to give us a call, you can call us toll-free at 877-270-8714 in the U.S. Toll-free in Canada, call us at 888-228-4494. And we've spent the past few weeks talking about our romantic relationships, which I think went very well. We've had a lot of emails giving us a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people like to listen to us rant and rave, and I know we enjoy ranting and raving. But we haven't covered another very important aspect of our relationships, and that's with our female friends. I know that myself, being single for 6 years, have relied a lot on my friends. I've been blessed to have a few lifelong friends that I had since kindergarten. They're the ones that I call when, you know, I've run into anything and I want to whine to. And then I have my friends that I haven't known since I was 5, but I consider them just as close, and I have a lot of them sitting around me right now. You know, we work together, but I think we'd say we're close friends outside of work, too. We do a lot of things together, and we all know each other's secrets, and there's times when we don't get along so well. We have our minor disagreements from time to time. I think we'd all agree with that.
Yes.
We'll all agree to disagree.
And sometimes that's what we do. We, you know, come to that conclusion. We agree to disagree. But I'm going to ask our panel tonight, do you think having friends are important? I mean, female friends are just as important as having a relationship with the opposite sex.
Absolutely, I think. I think it's healthy for a relationship. Like how we were talking before about how you have to get away from the mundane and get away from your spouse or whomever, you know, whoever you're dating, just so that you still remember who you are. And if you surround yourself by people that complement that, then I think that's healthy for you as a person. So, yeah, I think it's necessary.
Sheila, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up having a lot of guy friends because I grew up with my dad and my brother. So I tend to trust male friends more than I do female friends. But I still have, my handful of girlfriends that, you know, I call when I want to vent or whine or get away.
So you have more, would you say you have more male friends than female friends?
Yeah.
Or would you?
Yep.
That's because that's what you're used to, or?
I think that's just because I grew up with males. My brother's friends were always around. You know, my dad raised me through my teenage years. My uncle was here. My dad has 4 brothers. So I guess I learned to trust males more than I do females. I think a female will stab you in the back because she'll come up and give you a hug and kiss.
I've heard that from quite a few people. Why do you all think that? Have you had past experiences?
Yeah, but we're all women.
Well,
we know what
we're doing. We all know what
we're made of love. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Now, do you trust your close? Is it because you don't trust your close friends, or do you trust your close friends? And what about your men in your life? Do you trust them as much as you do the females in your life?
Well, my take on trust today?
Yeah, let's have that.
Yeah, today's not a good day. I'd say that, you know, as far as trust goes, you like to believe that you can trust somebody right off the bat. But trust is, I think, is something that's earned. You know, and you know, I think that for me, I probably have a little bit of a shield up with every relationship that I'm in. You know, whether they're old friends and I've known them through school, or you know, they're new friends, I think that I always have a little bit of a shield.
Well, my friends that I've had since I was in kindergarten, there's 2 of them, and I absolutely trust them with my life, my children's life, and I think I automatically trust people, and I've been burned on that a few times, but actually it's the men that burn me. It's not the females. I had one female who actually did burn me, but that, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and I should have realized that.
Jessica and I have had this discussion,
mm-hmm.
and I disagree that men make better friends because I think any man that's a friend with you Has a motive. And they have thought about a romantic situation with you, and every male relationship that I have been in that was friendship has turned sour because they wanted something more. So I don't trust men in friendship. I think they're after something.
Well, you know what? Every guy I've ever dated, and even my ex-husband, I'm still friends with. I don't think there's a guy I've ever dated that I can't be friends with today, that I can't walk by with him and his girlfriend or him and his new wife or whatever and say, hey, you know, how are you doing?
But if you wanted him back?
I could still do that.
See?
Well, listen, I could still just do it on a friendship basis. I mean, if somebody's married, they're married. I wouldn't, you know, you can't be friends with a married man? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't, it wouldn't be like I was
trying to get him
or anything. You know, it's just, he probably wouldn't be my best friend, but I still am very social.
You relate more to guys than you do girls.
Yeah, so I mean, I still have that friendship. I'm still.
It's all in what your understanding of that person is.
But I also don't hold grudges. You know, even girlfriends have done me wrong. You know, they're not my friend anymore, but I'm not going to walk by and be like, call them a bad name or be nasty. I walk by and say hi. And, you know, if the kids are there, I'm definitely not going to, you know, be negative around them.
Well, let's ask the only male on the panel. Steve, do you think that men and women can be in a purely platonic relationship and not have any other expectations?
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I have several friends, one of them in the room here with me, that it's purely platonic. You know, I have several friends, though, that are females. Some of my best friends are females, and I have no intention of having a relationship with them.
Uh-oh. Don't, no.
Okay.
No, because we're both
okay. Okay. I'll leave you alone on that one, Steve.
Steve's a very good friend, and being a guy, and I'm a girl, and we have a good friendship.
Okay.
So that does work out, but my husband always had problems with me having friends that were guys because he always said the guy was out for something more.
His insecurities. Down.
I think it is insecurities because, for me, that I knew I wouldn't let it go any further. So even if that guy had wanted it, I wouldn't have done it. So it was trust in me. And that kind of, that has to be something that your husband has to be able to trust you in the situation.
Even around his friends.
What do you mean? He can trust me around his friends. I think he knows that.
never crossed
that line.
His friends never crossed that line?
Oh, God. They tried, but no, they never really got anywhere. So he said he could trust me.
Yeah.
100%.
So what it is that you wouldn't go any farther with these men, but would these men go farther with you if you gave them that option?
But if I gave them that option, then I was opening myself up to more, so it's just as much my fault as theirs.
Right.
So as long as they know to step back unless I say it's okay, then there's really no problem with still remaining friends.
But is
if
that
it's
friendship
something that you'll never
is that friendship is strong as two women, because if you gave me the option, I wouldn't take it. See what I'm saying?
Because you don't ever have to worry about sex as being an issue?
Yeah.
How do you know that some of your female friends might not consider that?
Yeah.
I had one friend
that did thought that might be an option, and I just had to make it clear it wasn't, and we're no longer friends.
You're no longer friends?
Because that kind of tore it apart, but
did your husband know about that?
Yeah.
How did he feel about that?
He thought it was funny. But, yeah, it was uncomfortable. But what I'm saying is there's always that option there with a guy. If you open that door, they're going to jump on it. And is that friendship as strong as two women who don't have to worry about that?
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. You know, guys say, oh, if you're married or dating, they're like, well, they don't want you to go to the bar without them. Because they think women go to the bar for one reason. But I think the thing is that when women go to a bar to dance, socialize, hang out. Not always, but in general.
For the most part, yeah.
Men go to a bar
with a motive.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That's a generality.
I think that's unfair.
But that's from another man's perspective. They think that men just go out
Everybody goes to the bar for the same reason. Come on,
right.
Let's get real.
Go
what
have
do
a
do?
Drink. What's wrong with
that? I
go
to the bar without
there
my
have
husband.
A drink
not to go find
exactly
somebody.
Right.
Yeah. You guys don't think it's a meat market? You don't
it see it. Well, yeah, what bar are you going to? Shout her out to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it is the bars I go to.
Okay. Steve, when you go out to a bar, why do you go? What's your motivation
I
there?
I usually just go to hang out.
And he's also single.
Better than drinking alone, too.
That's true, yeah. It's kind of nice as a female to have a guy to go out with, too, because if you don't want to
want
be approached,
yep.
You know, you always have that safety thing. And so does a guy in return, because he can be like, hey, listen, that's my girl. I'm here with her. Then they're going to leave you alone for the most part, unless they're really pushing.
Do you think a guy actually goes out and doesn't want to be hit on?
I actually did go
I
out
like
one time before I got
married. And that's a bad thing.
Before I got married, and I went out with one of my friends, which is a guy was just a friend.
Uh-huh.
So we pretended, like if someone would bother him or they would bother me, oh, we were together. Neither one of us were together or even interested. We were just good friends. But it was a night where you could go out and enjoy yourself without
not
being bothered.
Worry about
they flew
that.
After that night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, but no, I don't care.
So let me throw this out there. Why do you think that women think gay men are such a good friend?
They never flirt on them.
I think they're more emotional.
Or hit on them. I just watched a show that said that.
They said the what?
They said why, they asked her why she was such good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, because I can trust him and know he'll never hit on me. I can actually go out with him and it's just like being with a girl.
And you don't have to worry about them.
You don't have to worry about nothing.
I think it's because they're more emotional.
No, they
that's
are.
An overgeneralization, but that's all we do at this round table is generalize people. But I think it's because they're more emotional, more down-to-earth, and they have more women characteristics, and that's comforting.
I think
in
they're
a
great
male
to shop
figure
with.
Because we want men to be strong, and we
they
want
are.
Men to cry, but we don't want them to
great
cry
to shop
much.
With.
Yeah. And, yeah, they'll look at you and say, girl, that looks good, and
yeah,
it makes you
yeah,
feel good.
Both worlds.
Yeah, why
yeah.
wouldn't you want
exactly.
that?
My
know?
Step-cousin's gay.
Uh-huh.
And he was the best person to play Barbie dolls with when I was a kid, and I always swore he was going to be gay. No one believed me until now.
So is he in a relationship right now?
He's in a relationship. They adopted a child 4 years ago.
Wonder what kind of, do they have any kind of insecurities with the other and going out?
He lives, he works in Washington and some accounting thing. I haven't talked to him.
So who do you all rely on more? Do you rely on your friends or do you rely on your family?
Myself.
My friends.
Can I get a family anywhere in there?
My mom.
I was going to say, if I had to do family, it would be my dad.
And
yeah.
My mom.
My husband.
Husband? You rely on your husband?
Some people
he's
have decent relationships.
You
forget that.
Best friend.
I was going to say, truly, mine is.
So do you think it's possible to be in a relationship and be friends and lovers at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're in a relationship and you're not friends and lovers, what's the relationship build on?
But I think you have to learn to do things by yourself, too, or go out with your other friends outside of the relationship.
Right.
Keep some perspective in it.
Well, and my ex-husband is probably still to this day my best friend. Even if I'm in a crisis with the person I'm dating, you know, I call him.
I was going to say, that's kind of like with me going through this whole divorce process and everything, that my husband, who's still my husband now, he and I are always going to be the closest of friends, and I have a feeling that even though someday down the line he'll date and I'll date, that we'll always have each other somehow because we have a connection with one another. You know, I have a lot of respect for him, even though we didn't work out, you know. But, yeah, you can be friends and lovers. That's the best type of a relationship.
Yeah.
Why do you need to start out as friends and then become lovers, or can it go the opposite? Can you?
I think that's false hope, thinking that it's lust is going to
That never works out, does
no.
it?
I don't
hey,
think
mind, so. I've said this before. Mine did.
Tell us about that, Stacey.
It's almost 11 years together, and he is my best friend.
So you started out as lovers before you were friends?
Yeah.
Do you think that's, I mean, is that normal for that to happen, or?
Oh, come
well,
on.
Well, you were attracted to
I mean, when you meet somebody,
start.
It's not because you, it had an intellectual conversation
yeah,
we're right off the
bat. I loved his conversation.
Them because they were hot.
Now, that's where they go, look at the brains on that.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, the initial approach or initial meeting,
is usually because of a physical
That's true. There is
attraction of some sort, whether it's somebody's teeth or eyes or booty or whatever. You know, it's a physical thing. It's
so it was his eyes. Eyes?
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that you can not find somebody particularly attractive, but then have an intelligent conversation with them and then find them attractive?
Absolutely. I think you can. I think you're perfect proof of that.
Yeah.
I just
mean that you and your relationship, the two of you, were somewhat incompatible because you're used to dating people that are less intelligent than you. He's highly intelligent, and you were a bit intimidated by him.
Completely opposite.
And so you didn't know whether or not you would even be able to handle an attraction to him. Then you finally got over that hiccup, and things worked out, you know, and you guys can finally open up and be with each other.
He and I do admit he was the exact opposite of what I usually date.
Yeah.
And
thank goodness.
Once I opened my and I even told him this past weekend, I really didn't want to like you. He said, "Well, thanks." I said, "Well, let me explain this." You know, and it was because he's the exact opposite of what I usually date. But you know what? I got to thinking, y'all told me, "Well, why don't you try this?
Yeah.
This might work out." And so far so good.
So I support your friend. Out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you guys.
It was best for you, even though you couldn't see it.
And that's very
important.
Yeah,
it was intimidation. That's what it was.
Something different. Something that is a lot more on your level. You know.
Something that's going to make you grow up and act your age.
Do I not act my age?
What are you, 22 or something?
Yeah, that's exactly how old I am. Just turned, thanks.
I think we don't take give ourselves enough credit half the time, and that's why we choose people that are less than what we are. We don't feel like we're worthy of.
Do you think you did that in your relationship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know I'm worth more.
I know the first time I found out who you were married to, I was amazed. I'm like, what? That can't be the same person
that I know.
Yeah, I know.
Says. They go, who? Are you serious? I've gotten used to hearing that, yeah.
But
I knew that, and I knew that I was on a different level.
No, I remember meeting her, but I already knew him first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is she doing with him?
Yeah. I think, and then that's the same reaction.
I like him and all, but
I
can't see dating him.
Does he know this? Does he realize that?
Yeah. I think that's why he's letting me go so easily.
Really?
Because he knows that I can do better, and that's awful, but I can do better. And so he loves me and respects me enough to let me go. So, I mean, that in turn,
that's very mature.
We were a good friendship. That's what we were, you know. Everything else just didn't work. We tried to make it work, but he respects me enough to just let me go. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a good guy.
You know, we were roommates.
You know what I think the bottom line is? This, for me, is somewhere where I'm safe. Like, at home, getting an argument, and it's not the safest place. But here, with you guys, I can be a very nasty person, but I'm still safe. The next day, it's over with, and I'm safe. And you guys can see the worst of me, and I feel like I'm still safe.
And you still come back the next day, and we're not going to be like, you were, you know, not talk to you or angry. And I'd say this is probably the best environment of females that I've worked in. I'm sure that everybody's got little nitpicky things about somebody else and blah, blah, blah. But I think in the midst, if one of us was down, all of us would come together.
I think that's exactly right.
And I think that you don't get that in a lot of environments, especially working environments with women.
Well, look at me tonight. I got stressed out at home.
And you came to
work. Where did I want to come back to work?
And you know how, I mean, that's really rare. When do you find a job where you can come
where you want to go back?
Where you want to go back to. That's awesome.
One of the other employees and I were talking, and we were talking about this show, and I said, where do you draw the line with backstabbing? You guys were talking about that. When you are frustrated with someone that is your friend and your coworker, and you vent about it, and you say, I'm unhappy with what they did. I can't believe they said this. Is that the same as backstabbing? And where is the line between venting because you're frustrated and maliciousness?
It's intention, whether you intend it to be malicious. I think if you are venting just because that's your reaction, that's a different thing. But if you're intending for it to hurt the other person because you're hurt, then I think that's backstabbing.
I also have a rule, too. If you're ever going to say something about somebody behind,
be ready to back it
you
up.
You better be able
that's
to separate them, or else keep it to yourself.
Don't say it.
That's the way
and that's how I've always
said. That's how I am. If I have an issue with somebody, I'm going to...
I'm just flat out going to tell you because if I, there's no reason why I'm going to sit.
Because why should I tell somebody else? That's not going to solve anything.
But a lot of that is people spinning their wheels, and they'll say that, but then they won't back it up.
So they're just venting is what you're saying.
So is that, I mean, people can say, yeah, if I say it, I'm going to say it.
Because eventually it's going to get
it's going to get back,
back to them, and then it's going
to
be a bigger
right
issue.
Way.
Okay,
right
how do you stop? How do you stop somebody from... Do you put your hand up and say, hey, we're crossing the line here? Does it turn into backstabbing?
Or you bring the other person in and you have a mediator.
Say, if you want to deal with this, then we're going to deal with it now. That's what I do.
Adult way.
Anytime you've come to me or someone's come to me, I'm like, all right, well, then we need to talk about this. You know, if you want to vent, that's cool. But if you want to have a solution, then the other person's going to come in and we're going to deal with it. Because it will be over. The next day, things will be washed out of the bridge, and it'll be all right, you know.
Be sitting on the back of somebody's head.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
It's a little backstabbing. I call high school games. I'm too old for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not worth it. In the
end, we can all be adults and figure things out the correct way.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us have any problem stating our true feelings around here.
Not for the most part, I don't think we do.
Yeah.
But I think we all vent, definitely.
So what do you
do? For our own sanity.
What do you do if you find that someone has backstabbed? Do you go to them and say, I heard you said this about me? Or do you just file it away and...
I think if you file it away, it's a bad thing.
Yeah,
I think
that build up.
Yeah, it's just going to build
up.
Thing.
I think that if you really feel strongly about the situation and you know that you need to confront that person, then you need to confront them. I think that if it's a minor thing, I mean... I think if you really feel like you're right, or that it is going to be a huge conflict, that you really need to confront them. If you think it's a big thing, absolutely.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you think...
Why do backstabs?
There's a story here.
You wouldn't be so adamant about it.
Yeah,
there's not a story. Everybody knows I had a hard week here, but today was... I got frustrated today, but it was a good day. I mean, last week was forgotten. So, no, that's not what it's about. I know that men talk because I was a corrections officer, and I've heard them talk, and they talk a lot like women do, but they don't repeat it like women do.
Right.
Women get together, and they talk, and then they say, guess what so-and-so said? Men get together, and they talk, and it's forgotten.
God.
So does that make men a better friend than a woman, or just quieter about it?
Well, women are emotional.
Yeah.
We're emotional-based. So, you know, get their emotions up, you're stirring the fire. You're just adding to the fire. Where a guy, you know, you get it off your chest, good job, you go on a long way.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Most of them are hard to deal with, yeah.
But women, if they can hold a grudge for years, you know, they'll be your friends, but man,
you don't forget that,
Tommy. Your leader still. Well, I don't even know why.
And, you know, that's one thing I've noticed about my mother, actually. She holds grudges. When she was 8 years old, she's held a grudge against this one person, and that always amazes me. Don't you think that takes so much energy and time to feel like that for so long?
Yeah, my dad had been dead for 10 years, and my mom is still angry at that man.
Really?
They were divorced when I was 8. He married some young woman. He died. Young woman got everything. You know.
Wow.
But you know what? They divorced for a long time. I'm 35. I was 8 when they divorced. You know, he didn't marry this woman until I was 11. And he's been dead for 10 years. So let's get over it.
She'll still talk bad about him?
Oh, I think that she hates it because I put him on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know. But she still. Women are just...
We don't forget. We do not forget.
We're evil creatures.
Jessica, would you say you hold grudges?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Long-time grudges?
Oh, yeah. And I'm a vindictive person.
Well, at least you admit that.
I am. I'm not in a person. If someone attacks me personally or attacks somebody I love or care about, I'm very vindictive. So, yeah.
What kind of vindictive things have you done?
You know what?
Let's hear it. You gotta tell us now.
Like, well, these are like high school things.
Yeah, the statutes probably ran out on
Yeah, I guess I've just gotten a lot of my ex-friends in trouble when they were, like, young enough to get in trouble with their parents and get them grounded for things maybe they did or didn't do. I remember one time I brought scissors to school to cut off a girl's hair that just kept flipping it on my desk, who was the head cheerleader, and kept flipping her hair on my desk, and I came and brought scissors to school to cut her hair off. And
did you cut it?
I snipped behind her ears all day long, and I said, I'm going to cut it, and she moved finally.
How old were you when that happened?
About 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, Nikki,
I
was talking to your daughter today, and she's, what, in 10th grade, and I asked her how her relationships were with female friends, and she's like, yeah, they're bad. They're just as bad as what they were when I was in high school, it sounds like. Maybe worse.
She had a group she hung around with for years, and she's not talking to them or hanging around with them anymore because she says she can't handle the drama. Mm-hmm. It's just drama, drama, drama. Oh. So she sits at a table with, I think, 3 boys and 2 girls. And they, it's not like groups anymore. It's like tables, our lunch table.
So it's not cliques anymore?
It's not
it's
the preppy,
the lunch table.
The jocks, the weirdos, the hotheads.
So
the
their lunch table, that's what their group.
Yes.
So she doesn't sit at that table anymore because she says at one end of the table, the 2 girls are talking about a girl at the other end of the table.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't want to be involved in all that drama, she calls
it. Why do you think girls of that age feel the need to do that, to persecute each other? Kids are mean.
That's why.
Yeah.
Why are children so mean?
They have a problem with themselves. It's better to say that. To make them feel better.
You think that's what
I do think
then?
A lot of it is self-esteem. I mean, you're not, at that age, you're not sure who you are. You have no clue who you are.
So let's beat everybody else down and make ourselves feel better?
Well, my mom always said, if you call this person that, just remember that means you must feel that about yourself or you feel lower than yourself, so don't ever say anything about someone else unless you feel, you know, that must mean you have a problem somewhere. So I wasn't allowed to name call and do...
Yeah. You've got a son who's 13. Do you think his peer group, the boys?
It's awful.
They're still bad. Like, what kind of things happen?
They're actually starting the drinking, smoking, drugs. Because there was a party a month ago. He's like, Mom, I'm not going. Which I don't know if he truly was just, he's not going because he knew what was going to be happening. And he said he wouldn't go. And I'm like, what's going to happen? He goes, Mom, they already drink and smoke and do drugs. They're 13 years
13
old. They're
years
in eighth
old.
Grade.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, well, when I worked in the foster care system, I mean, it's everywhere. You know, from 10 up, you're looking at the possibility of, you know, drinking. And
that's how they're raised. Like,
well,
I mean,
I was going to say, that's normal to them.
I think it's more normal.
Because the parents, you know, and these kids get penalized, and they grow up, and they're in foster care, and then people stereotype them for that. But you know what? Not that kid's fault. They don't know what's right because they've been raised that this is right.
Well, you are a product of your environment.
Yeah.
But
the kids take the beating. The foster kids in a high school knew they are stereotyped by every teacher, every principal, every staff member, and they are not treated well.
But, you know,
it's true.
It's not all just the parents, too. It's society itself.
Right.
We have a society now that basically says you are not responsible for your actions. You know, and they prove that day in and day out at the school. I mean, I pulled my son out of, he was going into middle school, and because of the experiences we had with our daughter, there was no way I was going to put him through it. He could go one way or the other. He's that type of personality, so I put him in a different school environment because I'm not going to deal with it, and I don't want him to deal with it. And because the school does nothing about it. I mean, my daughter was sexually assaulted, and
wow.
The school didn't do anything about it.
How old's your daughter?
She's 15.
Wow.
But it's not fun for him. You know, they're contending with not only pressures from, you know, home and all that other stuff, but from everybody else.
Peers.
And then nothing to back it up.
Creates a very hostile environment.
Another way. identity crisis. And I think I'm observing that, you know, we're kind of having a role reversal between the boys and the girls.
I agree with that.
I think men are actually becoming more sensitive and women are becoming desensitized.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because we're powerful and we're strong and we can do it ourselves, and so we want our daughters to be able to be that woman. And
you know, that our daughters become stronger than what we are because, you know, we teach them. You know, you don't have to do that.
That's an awful lot of pressure.
I shouldn't call Timmy Tiffany
on young girls. You know, they've got to, you know, be strong and be it all, do it all, and look perfect while they're doing it.
And I'm hard on my little girl. You know, I have always been a tomboy. And my little girl is such a girly girl, and it makes me crazy because I want her to be a little tougher. I want her to go out and ride a motorcycle. I mean, at the same time, I want her to be able to, you know, dress up and
all that.
But
is she sensitive? I mean, is she a strong little
she's
girl?
She's sissy.
Is she really? I think that's what drives you crazy right there.
Oh, she's a sissy. She's six, and she has tons of personality, so it's not lack of personality or intelligence. She's a very smart little girl, but she's just so
prissy.
Girl. Prissy, just she's so girl.
She's girly
it's
girl.
It's hard for me because I don't even know how to. I was raised by my dad and my brother for the most part, so I don't even know how to do that. You know, and she likes to do a little makeup and fingernails, and we do that, but I want her to be able to get underneath the car and change her oil someday, too.
And we can still teach her that.
But I don't see it happening. I mean, I should be like, oh, Mom, I'll just pay somebody to do that.
I was just wait till she moves out and has to take on responsibility.
Yeah.
Then maybe. So
I mean, she's not going to have anything to do with any of that kind of stuff.
My dad always tried to teach me how to do that, change the oil in my car, change my tires. Do I ever do that? No.
I thought that was the best part of learning is, like, to be a woman and actually know how to do those things.
I didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
I always thought that was cool.
I thought it was cool.
Oh,
you know, the ASVAB test you take?
Uh-huh.
I was a high-scoring female in mechanics.
Really?
I had the military call on me because they wanted me as an airplane mechanic.
Wow. Wow, that's great. That's a great career.
But I'm a girl.
Why?
I grew up working on cars with my dad.
You know, so I don't know. It's hard. You know, she's not in that environment.
I have no desire to work on cars. I have no desire. I've never changed my oil. Now, I've changed a tire, and I've put oil in the car, but I don't have any desire for that.
But it's not a desire. It's just knowing how and knowing that, you know, I don't need somebody to do that for me.
That's the thing. It's
but that's my independent, stubborn.
You know, that's the thing.
I'm strong. I'm just as strong as you guys. I don't want to touch a car.
It's an inner strength that, you know, I
have an inner strength. I don't need
to
change oil to have inner strength.
It's only $20 for an oil. Yeah, it's like a Jiffy Lube. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
I don't know. I don't think that
I'd
even be able to. When I raised my car at 16, I wasn't going to have a car unless I went in and fixed it.
Really?
Yeah. And I had to go in and work on my car every day until it was fixed or I didn't have a car.
I guess a lot of it is what you perceive as independence.
Self-sufficiency.
Yeah. But I also am the one who sat here and said, who do I depend on? Me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my family. It's not my friend. My ex-husband. I call him a lot.
I think that's great you guys have remained friends.
We're very good friends.
Yeah, because I couldn't even look at mine.
Your ex-husband? Why is that?
Huh?
He's not a good friend?
No, I haven't spoke to him for 4 years.
Really? Really? Nikki, you've been divorced. Can you imagine being friends with your ex-husband? Or are you friends?
Oh, no. We're not friends. They didn't change oil either.
They mowed the lawn.
No.
The lawn never got mowed. Oh, my God.
He married him like a lawn boy. That's all you need. Yeah. Yeah.
He does that for a living.
Do you have a pool?
I'll hire one. I don't have a pool.
I want my pool boy.
I want to know what a friend is. I want you guys to define a friend, a good friend, a friend that you're safe with and you can trust.
I think you just defined it.
No. I mean, do I have to want to change oil to be your friend? Is it okay that I don't want to do that?
I just want to raise my little girl to be independent.
Just likes you for who you are.
Yeah. Accept you completely without question.
All defaults, everything.
Yeah, no matter what you do to compromise. I mean, I've lost a couple really good friends of mine that I've had for 25 years just recently.
That's what you were talking about.
Some bad choices in a relationship. But I'm also the one who, when they couldn't pay their electric bill, I made sure it was paid so their kids had electric. When they got kicked out of their home, I let them live with me for 4 months. But when I made a bad choice, I think this is the one time in my life I didn't walk the line and I compromised my belief and what I stood for in this relationship, they bailed. There was zero support. And you know what? That's fine, because that proved to me, after 25 years, that friendship wasn't even worth having.
I was going to say, if you knew 10 years ago, it would have been much healthier. It would have been easier to get, you know what I mean? I lost most of my friends after, like, 4 years. They all were gone.
It's not worth it. And that's what people say. Oh, Sheila, you know what? Anybody can always call you. We know that you would give us the shirt off your back. And you know what? I do. But I get burned in the long run because when I need that in return,
they're gone.
What can you forgive a friend for? If those people came to you and said, you know what, we judged too quickly and we're sorry, we want to be back and be a part of your life, could you, I mean, what do you...
25 years, and I would say, you know what, you guys abandoned me when I needed you in the toughest time of my life, and you dumped me because, you know, I used to be the prude. Sheila walks the line. She does everything by the rules. She doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. Well, so I strayed way off the line. And I think it would take a long time for me to put any trust back in them. But I love their kids. I would never deny their kids being around my child because they've all grown up together. But it would take me a long time to open that door for me. I would be friends with them, but I wouldn't trust them for a long time.
So what can you forgive? What kind of things can you forgive? She can't forgive abandonment.
I can forgive it, but it would take time. I mean, it would take time in seeing that they're not just going to use me.
What do you think is forgiveness?
I just don't have friends, so I don't have to worry about it.
Kids are husbands.
That's not true, Stacy. You have plenty of friends. You have friends around you.
You can ask my husband. Until I worked here, you name one friend I had.
You know, a lot
that
of people...
That wasn't one of his, and that's why I was friends.
You know, a lot of people, once they are in a relationship, give up their friends.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happens? Why did you do that?
Why did I do it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Doug and I just actually... We were always together. And one, I don't trust girls around any guy I'm with. So I'd rather not have a friend.
Do you not trust us around, Doug?
No.
You don't?
Do you not trust Doug?
No, I trust Doug.
You don't trust us?
I don't trust a girl around any guy I've ever been with.
Any girl. It doesn't matter who they are.
No, because I had one friend that was truly, I thought, almost just like a sister. And she backstabbed me so much with this one person. I mean, complete lie. Didn't know if she was even with the guy for 6 months. So then I decided right then, that was the last time I really had a girl as a friend.
That's really sad.
Because I'm like, no, you can't trust. I can't trust a guy anymore, and I can trust a girl. So truly, no, I don't trust any either way.
You don't trust anyone?
I have no trust in anyone. I wouldn't even. I don't have a trust in my parents.
I don't trust right off the bat. You have to trust it. You gotta earn it.
What do you think is forgivable, Jessica?
No, I think it's, what is forgivable? Like, what do you mean?
Like, what's crossing the line? What will you forgive? Would you forgive a woman for flirting with your man? Would you forgive a friend for canceling plans? Would you forgive a friend for deserting you?
Canceling plans, as long as I knew ahead of time, would be a problem. Deserting me or leaving me alone, promising me something that they don't follow through on, I wouldn't forgive, and I would hold a grudge, and I probably wouldn't be friends with them again, because I have more years in my life to find friends, and if the friends that I have aren't going to treat me with the respect I'm going to treat them with, then screw them.
What is this thing about friends and enemies? do need
keep
enemies.
Your enemies closer. No, keep your enemies closer.
Keep your friends close. Your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your enemies closer.
I guess I think I've been. Most of my friends gave up on me a long time ago. As soon as I, once I graduated and everything, they all kind of went their directions, and I was the one making the phone calls for a while, and then finally I just said, okay, their turn to do it, you know? I never got a single phone call. I didn't have any friends at all. And then I got with Kelly, and then his friends kind of became my friends. But it's not like somebody I'm going to call up and be like, I had a really bad day. So I became my best friend, you know, and that was about it.
I do it to you.
You do that.
But I think all my friends I made, the best friends, or the best friends I ever made were from here. And I have one that I still talk to that I consider a very good friend because she's an intellectual person that I love talking with.
Yeah.
I can go and have a cup of coffee with her and we can sit around and discuss. Mm-hmm. And there were some friends that I had before that I could not do that with. They just, let's go out and drink or let's go out and party, let's go out and flirt with guys. You know, I'm kind of over that. So we have a much more powerful relationship, I think. I still go and do that. I got those friends, but it's nice to go have a real friend that I can sit down and just have coffee, not have to have alcohol for us to carry a conversation on for hours. You know, I think that's wonderful.
You know, not going out, just going to a movie or going to eat some appetizers.
Going
and
shopping.
Out. Yeah, I'm not a shopper.
You're so not a girly girl, are you?
She's not. She's having a hard time.
I shop. I just, when you have to, right?
You know what you got to get and get in, get out.
For the most part. Yeah. You know? But I spent an hour and a half in Claire's the other day with my daughter. That was shopping enough for me. I was ready to get out of the mall.
Ah, I love Claire's.
Good, you can take her next time.
Hey, okay.
Get
her
some money. I'm a girly girl. I can do that.
You think you can be friends with your children?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's a dangerous line there. I mean, I think you can be friends up to a certain point, and then you need to be the adult.
Yeah.
And you need to know when to draw that line. But I think they need to feel comfortable enough with you in order to talk to you about certain things.
But you also have to know when to draw the line with yourself when you stop treating them like children and start talking to them more on an adult basis. That was less than
and not divulging too much information.
Right.
Because they are children and they are.
They are.
They are somewhat
amazed,
powerless.
But they already know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would rather it come from me than someone else.
Yeah, because if it comes from a peer, it's misconstrued and it's all messed up.
I honestly am pretty.
You have no idea where they got their information from.
My first bit of advice
to both of my kids when they started school was, you're going to hear a lot of things on the bus. 99.9% of them are not true.
Right. They thought they figured it out. They found Daddy's stash under the bed. They thought they know what it is, but they have no idea.
The bus is really the worst, isn't it?
The bus is horrible.
Oh, by far.
I hate the bus.
I'm driving
my daughter to school every day. I am not putting her on the stinking bus.
I drive my daughter on the bus. That's what she has to.
Yeah.
What am I, bad? Mine ride the bus.
You're like, get on the bus.
My kindergarten got kicked off the bus here.
There was a lady reading this book this week, and I had the girls up at a water park, and what your daughter's not telling you. And she said it was really good, that it explains how mothers can talk to their daughters to make their daughters feel like they can trust their moms more, like they can open up more to them. And I know it's something that I'm going to purchase, even though my daughter's six. I can read it a good 10 or 12 times before I'm really going to need it, hopefully. But I heard it's an excellent book. The lady enjoys it tremendously. She's got a teenager and a 9-year-old. And she said that she regrets some of the way she approached her 13-year-old and hopes that, you know, she can.
What, your daughter's not telling you? I wonder if they have. What's your son not telling you?
Yeah, I've got three boys.
Yeah.
You should find that lady for an interview.
Well, absolutely.
Much harder to raise than boys. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which girl on boys than me?
I knew I was having a girl. The day I found out, I knew it.
I really wanted a boy.
I wanted boys. I got it.
Like, we're going to dig and play with worms and do cool stuff like that. And I was like, oh, man, hair ties and dresses.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was the first time I ever wore pink was after I had a baby.
Yes,
really? You never wore pink before?
Oh, I wore black all the time. I wore black and chrome. That was all I wore.
black and chrome.
Black and chrome. Anything that was like silver or black, I wore. I didn't wear anything other than that.
I had a hot pink outfit with pink stripes in my
Ooh,
pants,
yes.
and then with the whatever the pink little knee-high thing.
Well, I think what you were saying was the book that you're talking about is really important because my mom was just here over the weekend, and I had one of the ladies that works here. I had her granddaughter, who's 12, with me all weekend. And I saw myself in her, you know, like awkward, not popular, in the band, doesn't know how to do her hair or put on makeup, doesn't know how to, like, feel good about herself, you know, or be cute or anything. So I took her out and I gave her a full-on makeover, and I probably spent, like, $150 freaking dollars over the weekend. I mean, I just went and surprised her with clothes. I went and had her hair done. I bought her makeup. I bought her things to wash her face with. I showed her everything. You know, I gave her, like, all of my stuff that made me a girl that I had to teach myself kind of about and gave it to her because I'm like, I don't want her to go through what I went through. Because I told my mom, I'm like, I went through some really awkward times. I'm like, I remember coming home just bawling. She's like, you should have told me. She's like, why didn't you trust me? Because now I'll tell her anything. But then, when it was the most important part, I should have told her then because, I mean, that's like at the point you get suicidal. I mean, you get severely depressed. Mom's a psychologist, and she didn't see it, you know?
Right.
So everyone should be more aware of how to talk to their child because no matter what, I guess, it's going to affect you for the rest of your life. You know, here I am trying to change some 12-year-old's life that isn't relationship at all to me. But if I change one person's life, you know, or make her feel like, you know, she can go out there and do it and she feels confident in herself, then I've done something, you know?
It's hard to see that with your own children, though, because have a problem with letting our kids grow up.
Yeah.
You know, you never want to look at your children and say, you're grown up, you're becoming a person,
yeah.
I want you to stay small. You know, but they do get to that point, and, you know, I think a lot of times it's when parents realize it, it's the same as our son.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So am I damaging my daughter because I want to make her...
No, yeah, you're doing the right thing.
I don't want to take away the girly stuff.
No.
You're damaging her.
I don't want to take away the girly stuff, but I want to add, too,
to
make her self-sufficient.
This usually starts, you know, like between the age of 11 and 14. You know, that's when, you know, moms need to open up their eyes and say, okay, you get over that denial period.
Oh, yeah, that's
going to
be a problem.
And start early with
it. So when my son's telling me he's a young adult, I should not keep saying you're only 13, you're still just a kid.
He is a young adult.
Well, then he needs that.
What do they call it?
Which is probably not what we should say.
My son and I had this conversation the other day because he got in an argument. They're getting ready to build a Sonic down the street, which is about a mile walk on a busy street. He thought, well, when they build the Sonic, I'm walking there all by myself. I'm like, no, you're not. I'm old enough to walk there by myself, and I'm like, okay. So I waited for him to do something very immature, one, not getting homework done on a timely basis, and he gets home at 7:30, and he hasn't had a shower, he hasn't done anything he's supposed to do. It's like, you want to know why I won't let you? This is exactly why. Yeah, your age is saying you're getting old, but you're not acting.
Right.
You know, when you act responsible is when you are.
Yeah, like I have to tell you to brush your teeth every morning. If you're a young adult, I shouldn't have to tell you that.
And I think if you put it to them in that way, especially boys, you know, it's not, I don't want to say damaging your ego, but they're feeling it on a physical level. You know, it's ego for them. And they seem to understand that better than you screaming, yelling, and
right. That's why I had to leave tonight.
Don't you guys believe that an important part of raising your children, you should teach them how to be a friend and how to have friends? I mean, is that something you think you can teach your children?
Yeah, because I'm an enabler, and I don't want my daughter to be an enabler.
How to be a friend, and the right kinds of friends to have, and the right kind of friend to be.
Yeah. I think the hardest thing is letting them make a mistake once in a while to learn from, you know. Everyone chooses the wrong friend, and if you don't choose it, you'll never really appreciate when you find a good one.
Right.
So you kind of have to let them go and make a few mistakes, and still be there to pick them up. You
That's
know?
One of the hardest things to do as a parent is to let them make their own mistakes, because I know when I was a kid, my dad and mom both said, don't do this because then that'll happen. I'll be like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I'm going to go do it.
Yeah,
that just made me want to go do that even more. And, yeah, sooner or later I did learn my lesson.
Exactly. I know what to expect.
Just go, but you had to go 10 times more
yeah.
to figure it out. Yeah.
My dad would always say, I told you so, and he still does to this day.
I had to go marry him. Then I got divorced, and Dad's like, I said, you don't even have to tell me.
Really?
I should have listened. They should have never told a 19-year-old not to marry somebody.
That's a bad
idea. Canceled my wedding, did everything. I was like, I can do that.
It's like telling a 14-year-old you're not in love.
Yeah.
Never tell them that, because
right.
to them they are, but they don't know real love yet, but they are in love.
Yeah. Did you think you were in love when you were 14?
Yeah, no, I never fell in love. I fell in love with my husband, but no, I was never in love. I had boyfriends. Well, I didn't even really have boyfriends. Never was asked out on a single date or anything. No wonder I took her and made her my little makeup her story this weekend.
I'm a little shocked when you tell me things like that. And I have one question for you. Were you really in the band?
No. Oh, actually, yeah, I played percussion in the band.
Really?
Yeah, and then a lot of times
I want to see pictures of you.
No, you don't. No, thank you. I've told my mom to go hide every one of those pictures. No guy that I've ever been with that has been to my parents' house has ever seen what I looked like when I was a teenager.
Oh, I burned
I am
like
that
mine.
Embarrassed, yeah.
Wow. Well, you guys, we're about at the end of our hour here, and I want to talk a little bit more about what the invoice profile can do for everybody. Nikki, can you give us a little bit of an idea of how the invoice report would help you out in your relationships, your friendships?
As we've demonstrated before on the show, the invoice program can show you how you're most compatible in your fighting, what your goal is, what is important to you, what is important to your partner. I think we have a special on invoice for our BBS callers, don't we?
Well, yeah. After having our session here, I'm kind of altering this just a little bit. Stacy.
Do we have approval?
Come on. Give me a break here. Since we're talking about relationships, and obviously it takes two at least to be in a relationship, whether it be a friendship or other, then we should do, I think, a two-for-one special. So, like, two friends could call in and have their invoice reports done for the price of one. We can send them out to them kind of jointly, and you can compare the two. And if you want further interpretation, of course, you can pay for that. You can call, make an appointment, and not very expensive.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that,
and Nikki's wonderful at
yeah,
interpretation.
So, but the main thing is let's do a two-for-one so that we can see where everyone's relationships are going.
Okay, I want to compare these charts.
That'll be good. It'll be a good research project on our end.
And the two-for-one deal is, let's...
$55 for one, so we're going to do two for $55.
That's a great deal. That's
yeah.
a great deal. Okay, all you BBS radio listeners out there, give me the email, heather@vocalprofiling.com, or you can call our office directly at 740-698-9119. And that wraps up another edition of Vocal Profiling Live. If you'd like more information about sound health or vocal profiling, you can call us at our offices or visit NutraSounds.com. We invite you to join us next week, same place, same time, for more Vocal Profiling Live. Thank you, ladies.
Steve.
Have a good night, everyone.
Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help.